So it's amazing how the Lord finds ways to speak to us. It's amazing how he reaches us right where we are, even when we're hiding. And it's equally amazing or sad at the lengths that we go through at times to avoid hearing him. There's been a scripture and a question that's been on my mind for a while at the forefront of my thoughts and prayers the last few months, and it's something I felt, well, maybe I should preach on this, you know? And the question is, do you want to be made well? You know, and it's something that we have to ask ourselves, and lately I've been asking myself and thinking about it for you, thinking about it for others, do we really want to be made well? Do we really want it? You know, the invitation is always there. No matter what you are going through, no matter what you have done, he offers healing, forgiveness, and restoration. But have we taken it? Do we truly want it? Is it something that we truly desire? And, you know, as I said, I was thinking, should I preach on this? And I said, Lord, you know, I've preached on this before, specifically the scripture of when Jesus tells the man to take up his bed and walk, when he asks him, do you want to be made well? And I said, Lord, I've preached on this before. A couple times I've talked about it. Lord, if it's something that you want me to preach on, please be specific that I'm supposed to preach on this. And I asked nicely, of course. I said, and Lord, please don't let it be something like, you know, hey, I think you should preach soon. But like very specific. Thank you, Lord. I get a phone call. And I hadn't mentioned this to anybody, and it's Jeff. And Jeff is like, you know that message you preached on years ago, take up your bed and walk? I really feel like you should preach on that again. That's pretty specific. You know, it's one of those things where sometimes we try and find ways to get around what the Lord is trying to do in and through us. But this was pretty clear. So then I said, Lord, timing, what's the timing on this? When should I do it? Because that's what's important. You know, still looking to hopefully, you know, maybe not do it. You know. And then Benji last week used two scriptures that I had in mind. And one of them we're going to go over today. And I thought, okay, it's time. So here we go. Today we're going to talk about two men, very similar circumstances, that Jesus healed one of them. And through the power of Jesus, Peter and John ministered to and healed the other one. John 5:1-6. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there in Jerusalem by the sheep gate, a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. In those lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first, after the stirring of the water, was made well of whatever disease he had. Now a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him laying there and knew that he had already been in that condition a long time, he said to him, do you want to be made well? Here this guy had this condition for 38 years. Now, I'm just about turning 37 soon, I think. That's right. Yeah, 37. Sometimes you lose track. But that's a lifetime, you know? When I think about that, that would be a lifetime. That would be my whole lifetime plus a year of being in that condition. You know, that would be miserable. You know, to not be able to get around. You know, placing your hope in this pool. Obviously, 38 years have gone by, and you know the pool's not working for him, right? You know, and all he could hope for probably is just for someone to show him kindness, for someone to show him scraps, give him scraps, bits and pieces, you know. And Jesus knows this. He knows his condition. It says he already has been in that condition a long time, and Jesus knew it. But yet he still went up to him and asked the question, do you want to be made well? What a question. If anybody needs to be made well, it's this guy. 38 years he's been suffering. 38 years he's been lying there, probably in his own disgust, in his own filth, not able to get up and move around without help. And Jesus comes up and says, do you want to be made well? And in the same way, He's going to ask us the same question. It may seem obvious. It may seem obvious that, of course, I want to be made well. Of course, I need to be made well. Of course, I want forgiveness. Of course, I want something different, something greater in His purpose, in His will for my life. Of course, I want to move forward. Of course, I want healing. But He still asks. And we still have to say, yes, Lord, I want to be made well. Yes, Lord, I accept Your invitation. Now, there are always two natures fighting in us. And today we're going to look at the sinful nature. Now, that's the human nature. That's our nature. There's also the nature that God is moving and giving us, you know, and moving in our life to build and grow. It's His nature. But we're going to look at the shadows today of our own life. We're looking at the shadows of the things that are secret, the things that are hidden, the things that when you present yourself to this church, to this world, to the people around you, to your family, to your friends, we often present ourselves a little different than we really are. You know, obviously, you know, sometimes, you know, we could be in a good place of integrity, and we are who we are, you know, most times. But yet we all have the shadows. And those two natures, it's not always about the desire to sin. Now, oftentimes it is, but sometimes, hear me on this, it's about the reluctance to step into the light. We would rather choose darkness and sin rather than stepping out into the truth and light of Jesus Christ. Sometimes, even out of spite, we choose the darkness. Picture this with me. The darkness and the burdens that are holding you back, bringing you down. You know, usually we have something that might be, you know, aching, something that's painful, you know, something that's bothering us, something that's holding us back. You know, maybe it's small, maybe it's big, maybe it's been 38 years, maybe it's been yesterday since it happened. Whatever it is, you know, think about those things. Think about the darkness, the burdens, the things that hold us down. Now, let's look at it differently. So many times we think that this darkness is holding me back, holding me down, holding on to me so that I can't move forward. But what if you are holding on to the darkness? What if you are actually the one holding on to the sinful nature? What if you're the one holding on to the dark shadows of our life, not letting go of those things because you're comfortable in them, because you don't want to give it up? When Jesus says, "Do you want to be made well?" we say, "Yes, I want to be made well, but I don't want to step into the light. I don't want to be exposed. I don't want to step out there and say, 'This is who I am, Lord.'" It's time to take a closer look. You know, we like to be the victim oftentimes. You know, and you know, I'm going to be blunt. We like to be the victim in the darkness in our life. You know, it has me down. You know, I just can't get away from it. The chains are too strong. But what if we're the one hanging on to it? What if we're the one refusing to let go? As I said, is there something in your life that maybe it was years ago, 38 years, maybe it was a year, maybe it was yesterday? Is it unforgiveness? Is it forgiveness for someone else? For yourself? Is it an addiction? Is it anger? Or even beyond that, hatred? Is it a mindset or an attitude? Something that you're hanging on to? Something that you're refusing to step into the light? And our initial reaction, and it may be, you know, right now, you're getting ready, getting the stones out, right? Getting ready. Maybe your reaction is, "You don't know what I've been through. You don't know my life. You know, you don't know where I've been. You don't know who I am." But, you know, I may not. But my heart breaks for you. I'm the same. My heart breaks for what pains you, the despair that you're in. And, you know, I feel that a lot. You know, it's part of what Lord has given me. He's given me very much an empathy for people. You know, when somebody's talking about a situation and they say, "Man, I don't know why they did that. I don't know why they did that." Me, my heart's breaking for them oftentimes. I can see many times where someone's coming from. But I may not know what you're going through, but I know someone who does. And as with any time I agree to stand before you, it's my job to bring you to the one who can make you well, who can shine the light on the shadows that are hidden. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this time that we could come together to talk about your will, your light, Lord, for our lives. Lord, I ask that you give us the boldness to look at the things that are hidden, to look at those secret things, those dark, hidden things of our past, of our present, Lord, the things that ail us, Lord, and I ask that you make us well of those things today. I ask that you reveal those things to us. Shine your light on us, Lord. Open our hearts and minds and speak through me, Lord, in Jesus' name. Psalm 23, 1 through 6 says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." This is a scripture that I've heard many of times, and maybe you have as well. But I encourage you, if you've never really dug into this psalm, that you do so. Some homework for you to really look into it. It really is a representation of what our relationship with Christ should look like. He gives us comfort. He leads us beside still waters, even in a warring world around us. He will give us peace. He desires to restore our soul and to lead us in the path of righteousness. When I was in college before I came here, it's about 18 years ago now, it was not a Christian school, and I was in an English class. Was before I came here to college, and one of my assignments was to dissect Psalm 23. And it's not a Christian school, and when I heard this assignment, I was like, this is amazing. I wasn't expecting this. And he said, you could do anything about it. You know, you can have any opinion. You could take it in any direction, any argument you want, but there was one rule, he said. And that rule was that Jesus was not to be brought into this at all. That Jesus was not to be brought into it because, in his words, according to the professor, Jesus had nothing to do with Psalm 23. Now, I'd like to tell you I had like a God's Not Dead moment with the professor, if you've ever seen that movie, and challenged him to a debate. But I don't even remember what I put. I didn't even remember it until actually last week, which I'll get to. But listen, no one has the power to do these things, to restore my soul, to give me a peace that surpasses all understanding, to guide me and protect me, to anoint me, to persevere in this world, to offer me eternal life in heaven. No one has the power to do this but Jesus Christ. No one. The world fears him. The enemy fears him. The forces of darkness that are trying to rule this world, and let me tell you, trying to rule over you today, fear him. James 2:19 says, "You believe there is one God? You do well. Even demons believe and tremble." You know, and it's hard for me to fathom Jesus not being a part of this. It says that the Lord is the good shepherd. It says that he is the true shepherd. It says that he is the one and only shepherd. And like I said, I'd like to say I wrote an amazing essay about how Jesus is the only way, but I can't even remember what I wrote. I wish I still had that. I didn't think about this actually for years until last week when Benji said that the world is accepting of Christianity, of religion, until you bring Christ into the equation. Until you say that Jesus is the only way, until you bring Jesus in. The world fears him, and it's the enemy's goal to silence Jesus' name. It's his goal to say, you know, you can talk about anything you want about the psalm. You know, we're studying the Bible in a non-Christian school. He's fine with that. They're all fine with that. But what can't we do? We can't talk about Jesus. Acts 3, 1 through 10. Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they had laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms, and fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, "Look at us." So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have to give you, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, and stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. It was by the power of Jesus Christ, this man who had suffered from birth, similar to the other story, was made well. He was delivered. You know, we look for good ideas in life. We look for ways to advance ourselves, you know, to advance our status and our comfort of life. You know, these are things we look for. We look for alms. We look for riches. We look for things that if we only had the next thing, maybe it'll make our life happier. Maybe it'll make our life easier. You know, we look for these things. And oftentimes we look at ideas of religions and the concepts of the Bible. But we're missing the most important point. And that's Jesus Christ. And not just knowing who Jesus is. Demons know who he is and tremble. We have to go beyond that. We have to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. We have to have a walk with him. And you know, and I can't fault the man in this scripture for not shooting for more out of life. You know, it says that he was expecting to receive something from them. And what was he expecting to receive? Handout. He was expecting to receive help from them. You know, maybe they had some food, you know, some water. Maybe they had, you know, a new bed for him to lay on. Whatever it was, he was expecting. His hope, his expectation was in riches. Where does your hope look to today? I want you to think about that right now. Where does your hope look to? Is it in a lottery ticket? Is it in a better job, a better car? Better family, better, you know, whatever it is. What does it look to? Is it looking to Jesus to make you well? And we're not talking about circumstances, we're talking about our own spiritual well-being. That's what's more important. But what does your hope look to? Just as in this situation, he was expecting to receive something, but Jesus went beyond that. Let Jesus transcend religion and good ideas. Let him reach deep into your heart and heal. Acts 3:11. Now as the lame man who was healed held on to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the porch, which is called Solomon's, greatly amazed. So when Peter saw it, he responded to the people, "Men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why look so intently at us, as though by our own power or godliness we have made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the just, and asked for a murderer to be granted to you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, of which we are witnessed. And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see now. Yes, faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all." In Jesus' name, he was healed. It says this man was lame from his mother's womb. How long have you been hanging on to the shadows of your life? You know, when someone comes over to your house, you know, maybe it's a party or you're having somebody over for dinner, you know, usually we clean up, you know, straighten up. But do you ever have that room that you close the door, you know, and you're like, I hope nobody wanders to that room? Or maybe rooms? Or maybe it's a garage? Or maybe it's somewhere where you're just like, you know, and I think you know what I'm talking about, where we're just like, okay, you know, everything looks nice. We want them who's coming over to see what we have prepared for them. And in a similar way, we go about life wanting the people around us, even the people that that know us the best, we want them to see what we have prepared for them to see. Don't look in those other rooms, right? Is it an addiction? Is it depression, anxiety? Unforgiveness, as I said? You know, maybe it is anger that you wish you were raised differently. Anger that you had a different family situation. Anger that you've had more money. You wish you had more money. People around you that love you. Are you blaming others? Blaming yourself, blaming God. Maybe that's what's in the shadows. What in your life has you down? And what in your life are you hanging on to? Acts 4:7-12. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power and by what name have you done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well, let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. There is no other name. There is no other way to happiness, to seek joy. We can only find peace through Jesus Christ, through his name, not knowing of him, but knowing him. Not standing back and looking at what he is doing in others' lives, knowing that he is real, knowing that he is true, that is not enough. Today, the question for you is, do you want to be made well? Do you really want it? Do you really want those shadows to be exposed, to step out into the light? Acts 4:13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled. And they realized that they had been with Jesus. And seeing the man who had been healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. And when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred amongst themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men? For indeed that a notable miracle had been done, through them is evident to all who dwell in Jerusalem, and they cannot deny it. But so that it spreads no further among the people, let us severely threaten them, that from now on they speak to no man in this name. I want you to really think about that. It happened then, it's happening now. So that it spreads no further among the people, let us severely threaten them, that from now on they speak to no man in this name. So wait a minute here. They just witnessed a miracle. They just witnessed a man who had been from birth, ailed, not able to get around by himself. He's healed. They see it. They know it. And they know that it was in Jesus' name. And what do? They want to hide, silence his name. This is the goal of the enemy, to make us afraid. to make us fear, to lie to us, to be afraid to step out into the light. I believe that you have felt and seen the power of Jesus in your life. I believe that. I believe that you are here for a reason today. You know, and maybe you felt the power of Jesus because you know him personally. But maybe you don't know him personally. Maybe you know of Jesus. Maybe you know, the idea of him. And maybe you even believe that he is real and true and that he is our creator and our sustainer and that he is our all. But yet you just haven't accepted his invitation to be made well. Maybe there's that fear. You know, his name has been quenched. His name has been blotted out from this world. You know, the enemy sees the power. It's the enemy's goal to keep us from our Savior. Do you want to be made well? Now, going back to the other man, John 5:1. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now, there is in Jerusalem, by the Sheep's Gate, a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. When whoever stepped in first, after the stirring of the water, was made well of whatever disease he had. Now a certain man, which was there who had an infirmity 38 years, when Jesus saw him laying there and knew that he had already been in that condition a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" Now, once again here, his hope was in a pool. His hope was in somebody taking him to a pool. I don't know what that pool is about, but it wasn't doing the trick. For 38 years, he wasn't making it in and being healed, right? And there's still tons of people laying around sick. Obviously, their hope was misplaced. But can you blame them, though? You look for ways to find hope in this world. We create things that will make us better, that will make us, you know, one step closer to feeling okay. You know, we find these things and we put our hope in them. And the question is, are we putting our hope in Jesus Christ? So what type of bed have you made for yourself? You know, this guy's laying in a bed. He's been laying there for 38 years. What bed have you made for yourself? You know, maybe the world has helped you make that bed. You know, yes, you know, we can go through terrible things that are not our doing, but yet we are who we are, and now it's our responsibility to do something about it. So what bed are you laying in? John 5:7-9, the sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I am coming, another steps down before me." Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up your bed, and walk." And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed, and walked. And that day was the Sabbath. Do you, as he did, have an excuse as to why you can't be made well? Do you have an excuse? You know, do you want to be made well? Well, you know, I can't because, you know, for him, nobody's helping me. Nobody's doing their part in my life, so it's just not going to work. You know, maybe you have the same outcome. You know, people around you aren't doing their part. You know, what is it that's keeping you from being made well in those shadows of your life? Is it the people around you? Are you blaming others as he was blaming the people around him? Obviously, he had hope in the wrong place. You know, like I said, I can't fault him for it. Just as the other man that Peter and John ministered to, it's all he knew. Hoping and blaming, hoping and blaming. So what are you blaming? Like I said, friends and family, government, your job, the world around you. It's time we stop looking at circumstances and start looking to our own heart. making a decision whether we will step out into that light. John 5:10, the Jews therefore said to him who was cured, "It is the Sabbath. It is not lawful for you to carry your bed." He answered him, "He who made me well said to me, 'Take up your bed and walk.'" And then they asked him, "Who is the man who said to you, 'Take up your bed and walk'?" But the one who was healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had withdrawn, a multitude being in that place. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, "See, you have been made well. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you." Jesus asked the man to take up his bed. Now, I always think about this. You know, it was filthy. I'm sure. Disgusting. He couldn't get around. Why does he tell him to take it with him? It's not like he wants to use it again. He's free. He can move around. He's going to get a new bed, or he's going to lay on the ground. He's going to lay anywhere but that filthy mess that he's leaving behind. But yet Jesus says, "Take it with you," as a reminder that we are not going to go back to that same place that he has brought you out of. He's not going back to that pool. He's not going back to lay in that same bed again. Jesus is saying, take up the bed, keep it, throw it away, whatever, but use it as a reminder that you are never going back to that same spot again. Have you gone back to the same spots over and over again? Have you gone back to the same bed that you were trying to get up out of? How are you going back to the same disgust that Jesus is trying to pull you out of? You know, and maybe it's just a bad attitude. Maybe it's something huge. Maybe it's something major. Maybe it's extreme lust, sinfulness. Maybe it's just, you know, anger, that hatred I talked about. Whatever it is, a bad attitude. Are you going back to it when Jesus is calling us out of it? Or is there an excuse why you can't be made well? Psalm 23:4 says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." This scripture has been on my heart as of late. One of the things that has come to me is that here in scripture, he is acknowledging to us that there will be darkness. There will be darkness. Whether you're walking through that darkness now and pretending to be in the light, or maybe you've walked through the darkness, or maybe it's coming. There is darkness. You know, there's no way around it. But yet, it tells us here that he will see us through. He will see us through. The reason behind the cross and his sacrifice is his love for us, for God so loved the world. And the point of it, the outcome, was to make a way for us, to make a way for us, for him to be able to ask us that question, same question that I'm asking you today, do you want to be made well? And he asks us that in the darkness. So many times we think we need to come out of the darkness to be able to hear him. He's going to pull us out. He's going to pull us out. We can't fight our way out on our own, but we have to say, "Yes, Lord, pull me out. Yes, Lord, I want that light, that truth to shine in my life." See, we are born into sin, and our destiny is death. And it's impossible for us to reach him, yet he did the impossible. He made a way to reach us in the darkness, in the midst of our darkest time. As I said, there will be darkness. You know, some of you have heard, and we've been talking about, we're starting a youth group. And the cry of my heart towards my children is to help them know there will be darkness, but Jesus will see you through it. Because, you know, we can go through life pretending the darkness is not there, but it is there. And we have to recognize that. And we have to equip our children to be able to know that when the darkness comes, Jesus will see us through. That's my goal with the youth group, is to prepare our children to be able to walk in this dark world and look to Jesus and to stay in the light and see him guide us. He came to set us free from the darkness. Do you want to be made well? The man by the pool said in his own way, I am the unhealable. I am the unreachable. I am the one who cannot be made well. Do you feel like that? Do you feel like the Lord right here and now could raise someone from the dead right in front of us, and that would be more likely than healing that which is in the shadows in your life? When you have that burden, we have to step out and allow him to shine that light and expose the shadows of those rooms that we refuse to show the people around us. And our prayer should maybe change from Lord, allow the darkness to be released from me. Allow the chains to let me go. It should be, Lord, give me the strength through you to want to let go of the darkness. I pray that you think about that reversal. That so often we look at what's holding us down. But the question today is, what are you holding on to? While I was preparing, you know, I always, in the morning especially, I like to get a clipboard. I get a clipboard, you know, and I have everything just right. You know, I have my clipboard, have my blue pen. You know, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go over my notes, you know. And I couldn't find my clipboard, so I'm like, whatever. You know? So I grabbed a book off the shelf. And it was a pretty good book size, and I'm using that. And as I'm preparing, just before, you know, I'm going to leave for church this morning, you know, I look at the book. And it's a baby's first book. And I open it up, and it's like pictures of Courtney, my baby, you know, 12 years old. I want you to think about this. Are you leaving the disgusting bed for your children to lay in? Because don't think for a second. The sin and the darkness that you have walked in, that you are walking in now or will walk in, won't affect your family, your friends, your children. You know, we think that our pain, our addictions, our anger, our disobedience, all these things are ours to bear. And we think that they are ours to have the burden of, our shadows, right? Our rooms that are closed. But you know what? Let's be honest. If we are consumed with anger, unforgiveness, if we are consumed with disobedience, blatant disobedience, with not living in joy and peace, if we are walking in sin and turning away from the path that Jesus has, how effective are we at teaching our children? What are we leaving for them? You know, I'm looking at this book and I'm like, man, you know, I want to make sure that I'm leaving good things, godly things, for my children to learn. And as a parent, if we are consumed in these things, where's our heart truly at? As a husband and a wife, are we fully there for our spouse? Ask yourself that. When you are in darkness, when you are off the path that Jesus has for us, are we there for the people that we love? As children of God, are we there for the brothers and sisters in Christ? As teachers and preachers, would we be effective? Are we in a position to move forward in our relationship with Jesus Christ, to love others, or are we bogged down, holding on to the darkness, the secrets of our life, the sin? Is there a reluctance in your life to move forward, to let the past go? You know, maybe it's something that just consumes you from the past. You know, we can move forward. We can be in a relationship with him, but yet and you know, in Jesus' name, he can do amazing things in our life. But yet there's something that you're hanging on to, something from the past, an anger, a frustration, burden, guilt, shame, whatever it is. You know, he wants to take those things in Jesus' name, and he wants to set you free. And like I said, picture it. Are you holding on to it? Because if you're holding on to it, the question for you today is, do you want to be made well? It's time to let those things burn away. I'm going to share with you a song. And this song came to me at a pretty interesting time in my life. And this was several weeks ago. I've gone to Minnesota a couple times now, essentially to train my replacements. The first time I went, I didn't know my end date. I do now. But the first time I went, it was to train the people taking over for me. You know, I was basically to take all that I had invested in at my work, in my test lab, and recreate it for them over in Minnesota. This was a hard thing to do. If you've ever done it, you know what I'm talking about. It was tough. You know, but I made a decision that I'm not just going to do it for them, right? I'm going to do it for Christ. You know, what would he want me to do? So I gave it my all. And I had held on to the hope that maybe they would keep me around for a while. Maybe they would, you know, even though they're moving everything to Minnesota, you know, maybe I could hang on to it. Maybe they would see my worth and keep me around just as a consultant or whatever, you know. And I was working hard for the last several months, just really trying to show my worth. And this first trip I went to Minnesota, I didn't know I had an end date yet. They didn't give it to me. But I was hanging on to that. And For King of Country released a song, and it's about burning the ships, letting go. And I'm driving to Wisconsin because I'm 20, 30 minutes away and I've never been to Wisconsin. So I'm driving to Wisconsin. Why not? I try and get every state. And I play this song for the first time, and I realize it's time to let it go. What am I hanging on to? You know, I know the Lord will provide. You know, I know he will. I know he'll see me through. You know, there's always worry. But I realize it's time to stop hanging on to what we feel gives us our identity of who we are, and to let God take over, to let Christ move in our life. Let's burn the ships.
If you need a refuge, I will be right here until into the night. Say a prayer, turn the tide. Dry your tears and wave goodbye. Step into a new day.
And all this talk of burdens, our past, our guilt, our shame, the things that are that we feel are holding us down, the things that we are hanging on to, there is hope. There is hope. You know, whatever it is that maybe it's from your past, maybe it's in your present, don't let it arrest you. This fear is fear of falling again. And if you need a refuge, I will be right here until the end. Psalm 91, 1 through 2. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him I will trust. How did we get here? They asked in the psalm. How did we get here? I think we have all asked that question at some time in our lives or another. How did we get here? And as I said, you know, the choices of others around you, your parents, friends, the government, the world around you, the choices you have made, we are here right now, and we have to make a decision. How did we get here? All cast away on a lonely shore. I can see in your eyes, it's hard to take for a moment more. Regardless of how we got here, it's time to burn the ships. It's time to set sail our past. And I like that. And then he burned it. Let the Lord burn up your past. Let the Lord take it away. Let the Lord burn up that addiction. Ask him for the strength to move forward. Ask him for the strength to say, no, I will not give in to the darkness. No, I will not give in to the lie of the enemy. Yes, Lord, I will step into the light. No more excuses. Take up your bed and walk. So long to shame. Walk through the sorrow, out of the fire into tomorrow. So flush the pills, face the fear, feel the wave disappear. We're coming clear, we're born again. Our hopeful lungs can breathe again. if you can relate to that, wanting to breathe again. You know, and when I say breathe again, I'm talking about the fresh air of the life in Christ. You know, and I think you know what I mean. To feel okay, even in the midst of all that's going on around us, even in the midst of all the things that are going on in this world, that are going on in the lives of the people around you, you can still be okay. You can still have that peace, you know. Do you have a desire for him to let you lay down in green pastures, to lead you beside the still waters, to restore your soul and lead you in the paths of righteousness? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Do you want to be made well? It's time to step into a new day. And I'm not talking about tomorrow, I'm talking about today. Isaiah 43:18-19. Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. So light a match, leave the past, burn the ships, and don't look back. Don't look back. Lord, thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to speak to your people. I pray for the burdens right now, Lord God. Whatever it is that has us consumed, whether it be just a small thing that aches us or something that's plaguing our entire life. Lord, I ask that you reach out to us today and ask what you always ask, Lord God. Do we want to be made well? And Lord, give us the strength now, Lord God, in Jesus' name, to reach our hand out to you and say, yes, Lord, I want to be made well. I want to be rid of the past. I want to be rid of the guilt, of the shame, of the anger towards others, of the anger of anything that we're hanging on to, Lord. Give us the strength to give you these things. Give us the strength, Lord God, to step out into your light. Lord, whatever it is that is going on in the lives of everyone in here, Lord God, I ask that you give them the peace right now, Lord God, that only you can give. I ask that you reach out, Lord. Help us out of the darkness. Shine light in our shadows. Lord, let us walk each day, Lord, for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Heather, if you would like prayer, she's going to sing a couple songs. If you want prayer, I'd be glad to pray for you. Glasses in the back. But I encourage you, you know, don't just take this time as say, okay, good, you know, now I'm going to run off. If you want to meet with the Lord, you can meet with the Lord right here and now. If there's unfinished business in your life, you can meet with him right now. If there's something that you're hanging on to, meet with him. If there's something that you need to let go of, take his invitation. Take his invitation and say, yes, Lord, clean those shadows and those dark places in my life. And then when he does, don't look back.
And the things of earth will pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you.
Sing another one, but if you are running, if you are running, if you are hiding, God is calling you. He's calling you to seek Him and to trust Him, and He knows you and He sees you, and He still has that desire for you to turn to Him. So let's just sing this one, and then we're going to dismiss.
And all these things. children.